The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor at healthcare.com. He's also
and
detecting.
I'm a busy guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're also wildly detecting. You know, at some point we're going to have to detect our way over to healthcare.com to see what kind of questions are coming in there, because that is a source of unending fascination. But meanwhile, detective,
yeah, meanwhile,
tech.
So I'll describe my week to you. Representative Michelle Cook of Torrington, we've talked about her a number of times. I think she asked the question of the week. This was at a bipartisan Women's Caucus press conference. And Governor Lamont was there and actually spoke. So he's just standing nearby. And Cook described this. She saw her father-in-law, they call it Pops, got COVID in Torrington's Litchfield Woods in nursing home. That's in March. And he died just a few days later. So on behalf of all the Pops in Connecticut's nursing homes, she asks, how have we lost over 2,500 lives in nursing homes due to COVID? Governor Lamont says he's going to get the answers and then make the reforms before the second wave of COVID hits in the fall, as many experts fear. So anyway, in response from Representative Cook, from us at Robin Hood Radio, from many others, Lamont is bringing in an independent firm to investigate the entire nursing home system in Connecticut and the state's actions up to now. That's significant. Well, I can save the firm some time because, here's how I spent my week. I spent it looking over the citations the Department of Health has issued to nursing homes and the fines it imposed. And there's no doubt in my mind, there's been a widespread breakdown in infection control, and the fines are ludicrously low. Best I can tell, because the state is withholding the exact number, a mere 14 of Connecticut's 213 nursing homes have been fined a total of $28,000 for COVID violations. What? Measured one way, that works out to $10 a life. $10? Weeks ago, Representative Mike Winkler of Vernon told me that, we'll be shocked when the facts come out. And he's right. And I don't surprise easily, but I'm shocked. So, Jill, at your request, I'm going to do this Perry Mason style. I'll describe the violations, and then I'll let you guess the fine. Okay? Is that? You want to play this game a little
Absolutely.
Bit? Okay. It's grim, though. Citation 2020-14. That's the first one we'll look at. Okay, that means that's the 14th violation of the year 2020. It's against Apple Rehab of West Haven. And it says that on May 10th, the public health inspector saw nurses going from COVID-19 residents to non-COVID, taking their blood with a little machine called a glucometer. So you test for blood sugar levels. You have to prick the finger, get a little bit of blood, and you get the level of sugar. They were not disinfecting the machine with the approved germicide between uses. Instead, workers used alcohol pads because, as one worker put it, it's better than nothing. The Apple administrator told the inspector that the nursing home didn't have the approved wipes for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Still, she couldn't recall if she had told her corporate managers about this shortage, so something might have been done. And get this. The infection control nurse said, I know that we didn't have the wipes. I knew that. But she didn't know that workers were using alcohol pads. What did she think they were doing? Jill, by the way, Apple has had 57 confirmed COVID cases and 19 deaths so far. And this isn't in the citation, but I'm going to ask you, can you think of a more effective way to spread a deadly virus than by swapping blood? Anything come to mind?
Just only sneezing on a person.
You could sneeze right on somebody's face. Yeah. Yes, you could do that.
But in terms of the protocols that you would just hope would be observed, just with common sense, that sort of, I'm not allowed, that the word that I'm going to say a bad word and I'm not allowed to say it. So.
Okay, don't say it.
I won't.
Yeah. No.
Can't afford the fine. Our fine will be higher than their fine.
Okay. Well, stay tuned because there's more. Apple was also rooming COVID and non-COVID residents next to each other, rooms next to each other, in all four wings, though the home had 25 empty beds, so people could have been spread out and isolated. Plus, nurses were wearing non-skid slippers, you know, slippers you get when you go to the doctor's office, to a hospital so you don't fall down. They were wearing non-skid slippers and plastic bags over their sneakers rather than the proper protective equipment. There's a shoe cover that they should have been wearing. And the administrator said she didn't know about housekeepers carrying trash from COVID to non-COVID rooms with the same gown, this protective gown, for an entire shift. One gown per shift, carrying garbage from one COVID to non-COVID. Oh, my God. So, Jill, before you guess how much Apple was fined, here's some context. One nursing home was fined about $7,000 because a worker had sex with her boyfriend in one of the rooms. That's not good. And by the way, the inspector spotted her hickey and then cracked the case. At another home, who fined $10,000 when a resident rolled out of bed, fell on his head, 7 stitches, $10,000 fine. So what do you think Apple was fined for not cleaning its blood machine?
$250.
You're even more lax than I thought than the state actually was. Well, this, look, they get fined $5,000. That's less than the worker who had sex. It's a lot less than the person who fell out of bed. They got fined $5,000. And Apple, of course, didn't appeal. Why would you appeal a fine like that? And Apple's vice president for operations, unfortunately, didn't return my phone calls for comment. I would have loved her point of view.
Quick question. How much are they getting? Sure. Once again, how much was it? $600? Have we established that it's approximately $600 a day per patient?
It's $600 a day for COVID patients if you take them out of the hospital and you treat them. Look, these nursing homes have revenues of about $10 to $20 million a year. So there's plenty of money floating around here, and something like $45 million in extra Medicaid money was pumped into the nursing home system by Governor Lamont in the last couple of months. There's plenty of money floating around here. $5,000 fine? That's not even a slap on the wrist. I don't know what that is. But look, I looked at some other records also, and it also showed a definite pattern of lax infection control and often no fines. Shady Knoll in Seymour was rooming COVID with non-COVID in the same room, okay, in late April. But the nurse said, we pulled the curtains between the beds. Pulled the curtains? Are you kidding me? I mean, by the way, 49 Shady Knoll residents have died of COVID so far. In April, Whispering Pines of East Haven was rooming presumed positive patients with not asymptomatic residents with no curtains, same room, no curtains. And that nursing home had 4 empty rooms. They could have spread these people out, but they did not. So far, 25 residents have died there. And get this one, Jill. Regal Care of Southport was washing protective gowns with water contaminated by raw sewage. And so it goes. So here's a proposal, okay? We keep pounding this one. The state should bring in an independent infection control specialist in each home at the owner's expense to enforce infection control, proper PPE, no commingling of COVID and non-COVID residents, and those specialists should report any problems directly to the state. Now, that move alone would save hundreds of lives this summer, while we wait for Lamont's investigation and other reforms in the fall. 41 nursing homes, and I've got to report this, of course, 41 nursing homes have not had any COVID among their residents, so that's awfully good. So perhaps they should be exempt. On the other hand, nearly 60% of COVID deaths in Connecticut's nursing homes are in homes with infection control problems. That includes four of the five with the worst records. And as I speak, you're hardly going to believe this, but as I speak, nursing home residents are 100 times more likely to die of COVID than other people in this state. 100 times. Okay, busy week. And there's more news from the week. At a press conference hosted by the Healthcare Workers Union, that's SEIU 1199 NE for New England, the Senate Majority Leader, that's Martin Looney of New Haven, said the state should start paying workman's comp to healthcare workers who get COVID, period, okay? Rather than forcing them as they are now, they're being forced to prove that they got COVID at work. That's nearly impossible. He says, forget that, just pay them. 3,1199 members alone have tested positive for COVID. Where do you think they got it so far? So you can look for some real action on that, on workman's compensation, finally in the special session of the legislature coming up, I think, pretty soon. And there was another noteworthy moment in that press conference. Rob Beriel, he's the 1199 president, choked up for like 30 seconds. He was nearly in tears trying to describe the sacrifices that his workers are making fighting the pandemic. COVID has killed 15 of his workers and family members as well. Yet they're still reduced to begging the state and the bosses for hazard pay beyond their $13 to $15 an hour. Proper PPE, better infection control. 1199 Vice President Jesse Martin told me, we feel abandoned by the owners and the Department of Public Health. At least in slavery, the masters wanted to keep the slaves alive. And Beriel told me that no one from the governor's office has contacted him about the investigation scope. Beriel said, we're the experts on the front lines. We know better than anyone what must be done to save lives. So, Jill, that was my week. And we're going to continue following this investigation because we've got to make sure that it's inclusive. We have to make sure that the nursing home operators are really held accountable, that if they face fines, they're meaningful. I mean, the state has the power to shut down a nursing home. Right. They're licensed by the state. They can shut them down if they're really egregious. Certainly, there should be fines that matter. I didn't see any fines that top $10,000. I think that may be the peak by the statute. But you know what? You can write a new law. And once these reforms are agreed upon by this outside firm and whoever else the governor has consulting with him on that, those reforms actually have to be done. So you got to make sure that when the reforms are passed down to the nursing home operators, they actually follow through and do it. So that's going to take scrutiny. We're here. So that's my busy week, Jill. What did I leave out?
I think that this is very good. Very good detecting, very good presentation. I'm curious, if they haven't heard from the governor's office, is there any point to contacting the governor's office, or was that just a comment made in, shall we say, the heat of the press conference?
No. They've been trying to talk to the governor's office,
right?
And they just don't get the calls aren't returned.
I understand when Lamont said that there should be, when the governor said that there should be an investigation.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Before he made that decision, and we'll find out, we're going to find out, actually who he was actually consulting with, and we'll report that. But at that time, the union was reaching out to the governor's office and saying, you know, we want to be part of this moving forward, get some solutions here. They're not getting any return phone calls. What's interesting is that when Lamont announced the investigation, he said he's going to bring in labor and he's going to bring in everybody inclusive, the Republicans, everybody will be on board. Yet no one's contacted 1199, and they represent the healthcare workers in this state. So they're the union to be talking to.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Send your questions or comments about this particular situation to Frank, What's the email?
It's my name, Lalli, last name. So it's Frank Lally, no dots, franklally1@me.com. Really want to hear from, we've heard from listeners. We want to hear more. And you can be in favor of independent nursing home infection specialists. You could be against it. That's not important. What is important is that we hear you and we respond on future broadcasts.
Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in-store, and on my desk.